1510. Joining us on the line, as opposed to being in studio, our monthly visit with the chair for the Republican Party here within the state of Colorado, Steve House. Hey, welcome back, Steve.
Hey, Stacey, glad to be back. And by the way, do the girls on the other side of the glass get equal pay?
Well, one of them's an intern.
probably not, right?
Probably not. It's a learning experience, an apprenticeship. Yes, Desiree? It's an apprenticeship.
There's more value than just money that they get out of it.
That is correct. She's learning some things the very hard way. And God bless America for allowing this.
Absolutely. That's what makes our country great, right?
That's right. So Steve is not joining us in studio today. Again, Steve House, GOP chair for the state of Colorado, because he has an event in Logan County. What is that event, Steve?
It's a luncheon where we're going to be talking about strategy for the 2016 election. You know, we've got 64 counties, and all of them, you know, we go see to have strategy discussions over time about how we win this year, because we're going to win this year. And so today happens to be the day that I do that. In future, on the fourth Thursday, I will avoid that.
It's okay. We understand. Do you have any other, I mean, I guess I want to say, as you travel throughout the state of Colorado, I know you're hitting these types of events. You're giving presentations at these kinds of events. What kind of feedback are you getting from the folks about who they're leaning towards, what their concerns are? Is there anything that you can share with us?
Well, you know, in most of the counties, and I was down in Fremont County the other day, and you know, there's two things people want to know. First of all, do we have a plan to win? And we generally lay that out for them, because we have tremendous, you know, assets and digital format and data and analytics now that we didn't have even 2 years ago. And the other thing is they want to talk about the presidential race. We do get comments about the U.S. Senate race because, you know, I came back from South Carolina from the RNC winter meetings a couple of weeks ago, and I got a call from some reporter, I think it was at the Denver Post, who said, you know, the Republican or the Democrat chair for the state says that, you know, you have so many candidates for U.S. Senate because you don't have one good one. And I said, no, it's actually, we have so many candidates because he doesn't have a good one. And they all believe they're going to win this race. And I think people are starting to get into the U.S. Senate race. But people are, you know, in the state, kind of torn between Donald Trump. I hear a lot of support for Ted Cruz. I hear a fair amount of support for Marco Rubio. Chris Christie's name comes up. Those are the four that I hear a lot about. Rand Paul, obviously, as well. But you know, we don't have a lot of dialogue about the presidential race in detail, but I think people would support those four or five candidates. And I'm certainly suggesting that all the rest of them that are in the race, you know, Fiorina, Bush, and those guys have supported the state somewhere as well.
And a reminder to the listeners that Colorado is a presidential caucus state as opposed to a primary. And the deadline for that has passed, right?
Well, the caucuses actually start on March 1st, so you know, there's been a lot of recent write-ups. You know, there was a criticism about not doing a straw poll, but then people started to realize that in the state of Colorado, if you're a presidential campaign and you get your delegates elected, because you can declare on an intent to run form who you support, if you get your delegates elected and you get 19 delegates of yours elected, you're going to win the state. And so there's been a lot of recent activity on the part of campaigns for that. So yeah, the deadline's passed to register as a Republican to join our caucus, but the caucuses aren't until March 1st.
And I'm one of those individuals. I'm not a fan of the caucus process. I think that I don't think it represents the actual individual, and I tend to word it, this is probably base when I say this, but I look at a lot of the people that participate in that caucus process, and I think they're people, they just need a different hobby. I said I like the presidential primary instead. I think it speaks more of the average person that goes through the trouble of voting in a primary, because not everyone does. And if you don't have the opportunity, the time, you're too busy with your work, you're too busy with your family to be a participant in that caucus process, I think that you're shutting out a portion of the voting populace that probably they matter. But it is what it is right now. So I go ahead and address right quick. I know there has been, and you and I have talked about it before, a concern that, you know, the unbound bound delegates.
Well, so let me just make a quick comment on what you just said regarding primary, because I think people should know that this year on the ballot, very, very likely there will be a ballot initiative to go to open primaries. Mm. And, you know, there'll be some, you know, it's not a purely open primary. It's not a purely open primary that they're proposing. We're supposed to get some information on Friday about what they're going to try to propose. I think they're going to try to suggest that unaffiliated voters will pick either a Republican ballot or a Democrat ballot, and then they'll you know, vote one ballot or the other. But delegates unbound and bound, you know, the three delegates that are automatic, myself, the national committee man, and the national committee woman, we are obligated to go unbound to the convention every single presidential year. So three of the 37 will be unbound regardless. The other 34 have the option to, on their intent to run form, indicate who they support. If they write that on there, they become bound to that person if they get elected as a delegate.
So it lies in the hands of that delegate.
Correct.
Okay.
So if someone writes down, you know, Donald Trump on their intent to run form and they get elected, when we go to the convention in Cleveland, if Donald's on the ballot, they are obligated to vote for him on the first
ballot.
But
they have the option of leaving a blank, yes?
They do, yes.
Okay.
They have the option.
Well, so they can only blame themselves.
Correct.
What else do you have coming up here that you'd like for the listeners to know about as far as getting around the state and getting the message out?
You know, I think in Fremont County, that was a very interesting discussion because
I have an attachment to Fremont County, by the way, so it always piques my interest when you say that.
Yeah, so we should talk about that at some point. Fremont County, in the discussion, I suggested to the people there that we've got to start thinking a little bit differently on how we talk to people, especially the 490,000 or so unaffiliated or leans right voters that we've got to make sure vote Republican on top of our base in this coming election. And that was to say, look, guys, I think we need to stop talking on every one of our discussions about the Second Amendment. And people, you know, bristle at that thought process because I'm an ardent Second Amendment supporter. I own guns. And they say, how can you stop talking about the Second Amendment? And I said, well, because I think the Democrats know that we own that issue. You know, no matter what happens in the world, we're not going to give up on our Second Amendment. We have defenders in RMGO and the NRA and our sheriffs and other people. The Democrats want us talking about issues that they want us talking about. So what should we be talking about? And I suggested we should be talking about education, because I think it's the number one issue for us as a state, for us as a party, and we should go beyond the discussion about charter schools. The problem in this state is 23% of the people that go to high school or through the system do not graduate. And when you don't graduate, 23%, those 23 out of 100 kids make half the income in their lifetime. They're a much higher likelihood to be incarcerated. They end up with a socioeconomic challenge they should have. And so as the party right now, we're talking about, even though our job is politics and getting people elected, we're going out there and talking about reasonable regulations. Oil and gas is suffering greatly right now. Why are we still stuck on an alternative mandate that doesn't make sense for a huge part of our economy, as an example?
That actually is a concern that I've had. And I'll tell you, I'll be straight with you here, Stephen. I think you probably already know this. I'm very committed to voting Libertarian coming up at this November for the U.S. Senate, for the president. I don't have a problem with that. But what I recognize here, and I deactivated my Facebook account yesterday, so you won't be able to reach me there anymore. But I had a reason that I did that. A lot of it came down to the incessant infighting in regards to presidential candidates. And I spent some time chewing on that particular issue of, wait a minute, why do we spend so much time talking about that individual candidate? We need to be talking about issues. So that's heading right down the path that you're wanting to promote there. Hey, we're already up against a break here, Steve. When we come back, we have Steve Howe still with us, and I have a list of things that I'd like to go through with you. And maybe we'll come back and we'll go ahead and we'll touch upon that candidate versus issues topic. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Ten 19 in your News Talk 1310 KFKA studio. Stacy Petty with you. Joining us on the line still, Steve House. He is the chairman for the state of Colorado GOP. Welcome back, Steve. So let's do this. Let's go ahead and start here. And I know that you cannot give an opinion as to which candidate you're leaning towards or who you like, who you dislike, policy issues in regards to that. But as I told you before we went to the break, one of the reasons that I went ahead and just removed myself from Facebook is because I got tired of looking at the fighting in regards to these candidates. Now, granted, this is nothing new, and it is entirely normal human nature to have these discussions. I prefer to look at this from an issues side to any given candidate. I look at a candidate and I say, does this candidate support A, B, and C? And that's how I make my determination about a particular individual. I am not a fan of Donald Trump, and I am so tired of seeing the support of him on social media and, well, I guess in general throughout the nation, because he's still polling pretty well. And I look at it and I think, wait a minute, we need to discussing, you know, as you said, skipping over the Second Amendment issue, because perhaps that's a tired subject to be touching upon. But you mentioned education, and this is something that Republicans are very bad at talking about.
I agree. By the way, what are you going to do with all that extra time that you don't use on Facebook?
I'm going to start packing.
I mean, we got some volunteer opportunities we could talk about for you.
For the Libertarian Party, of course, because I know that's who you support. But, you know, it's shocking to me that we don't spend much time. When I say we, that's also my former personality as a Republican member, or I should say member of the Republican Party. And the Democrats own education talk, and we're very bad about that. So what are you hearing across the state when you have these conversations with the common people?
So first of all, if we lead with the discussion regarding charter schools, because we believe in charter schools as a solution to a problem, I don't think that's a bad thing to believe in that as a solution. But I think when you realize you're trying to persuade people, you first have to get an agreement on what the problem is. And so by talking about a 23% failure in graduation rates, talking about the fact that 40% of those who do graduate are not ready to move on to the next step. They're not ready for college or, you know, an additional trade school, or even some of them are not socially ready to go to work. So that's 23% fail to graduate, 40% fail to graduate with the level of education that our Constitution implies. And then there's the other piece, which is, I like to ask the question, you know, third grade reading levels are such a strong indicator of graduation rates. The number is well above 80%. If you can read at the third grade level in third grade, you have a much higher percentage chance of graduating than we do actually graduate kids. Why is it that we run around 40% achieving the third grade reading level by third grade? And so you start asking the question, oh, so what would you do about that? I can tell you right now, third grade reading levels, and you know what reading does. Reading allows you to study, allows you to learn, comprehend stuff. If that's the case, would you simply say, let's get rid of all other curriculums until they can read at the third grade level? And by bringing the issue up and talking about the impact on the economy, and more importantly, about the impact on the individual who's not prepared by the time they get through high school to be competitive and chase their own dream, it's really a travesty. And frankly, I believe we can all look back and say that teachers' unions and the Democrats have controlled our school system for long enough, and it's time to make changes because those numbers are not acceptable.
Well, and I don't spend much time, criticizing public education or their teachers' unions. I'd like to think that they have the best intentions in mind. But when you look at the statistics, I mean, you're saying that 23% within the state of Colorado, how do we rank nationally in graduation rates? Do you know that off the top of your head?
We're in the bottom half.
Okay, that's upsetting. And knowing the teachers' union presence here in the state of Colorado, them taking the routes and the tactics that they do to control it, you'd like to think that you should be able to drop the responsibility, or perhaps I should say irresponsibility, of that graduation rate and the inability to move forward even after graduation on the folks that should be responsible, and that's going to be the teachers and the unions.
Yeah, and you know what? I agree with you about not wanting to blame people outright without a lot more information, but we tend to get into this argument about funding and the negative factor. And, you know, there's 55-60% of our budget at the state level goes toward education. You know, that's, you know, either right or wrong. But the real reality of it is things have to change. Students end their school year in May or June, and they lose a lot in the summertime. You know, right there in Greeley, you know, there's a group of people who actually take students in the summertime, put them through a five-week course to bring their educational level back up, and their graduation rates end up being much higher than average because they've made some adjustments. It's definitely not purely about money. It's about looking at why people do and don't graduate, where they're at third grade, where they're at an eighth grade. We need to make some changes. And if the teachers union wants to come to us and say, okay, we're going to be part of the solution, we know things have to change, then I'm all ears.
But that's not what we're hearing. So
no.
Yeah.
No.
And I can't. Like I said, I tend not to take that route, but I'd like to place the blame where it belongs, and that's where I'm going to place it for right now. And I don't remember the number off the top of my head, but I know the growth in homeschooling has increased significantly just within the past 5 years. And I know it's a frustration that a lot of parents have with the public education system.
Yeah, they do. In fact, when I go into Five Points at Denver or an NAACP meeting, we have the same exact discussions we do at the Republican Party meetings, which is, look, my kids need to be educated because once they're educated at the right level, they can then make whatever they want out of their life. That's the promise of America to begin with. And I'm not going to say that we should be blaming teachers or superintendents or unions. I'm saying we should solve the problem because we have lots of great teachers and great people with great hearts in education. The fact of the matter is the results are not there, and we've got to make some changes.
What else do you have that you think would be a great topic for those who are right of center to be what conversations to start engaging in outside of education? What else is there?
You know, I'll go back to the discussions we have, and I spend a lot of time these days in meetings with unaffiliated or even Democrat voters just to listen to see how we can persuade people. And hospitals and healthcare come up. Obamacare comes up a lot. And you know, I think as a party, we're the party of entrepreneurship and business. We've got to start going toward solving some serious problems for people and their health. We need to start curing some diseases again. And I think when I talk to people and they say, well, you know, you just hate Obamacare. And I said, no, you know, it's not about hating Obamacare. It's about making sure that we have the right processes, regulatory structure, and incentive in place to see us solve some problems like diabetes, like stopping strokes and heart attacks before they happen. Those are the kind of things you get from innovation and from some of the work that's being done on adult stem cell research and the things we're going to be able to do. But if you then tax the revenue of companies who exist in the medical space, you stifle innovation. And I think what we as a population have to say is, look, we're putting up with higher prices for healthcare through Obamacare. We're putting up with limitations on which doctors we can see and where we have access. Should we also put up with incentives that are disincentives to be innovative and help cure diseases so the rest of my life can be better? I don't think we should.
We need to run to our bottom of the hour break. I think I might want to touch upon that again with you when we come back, because I think that there is an idea that we can promote there in regards to healthcare, especially as we have Amendment 69 coming up on the November ballot. We have with us on the line Steve House. He's the chairman for the Colorado GOP. We need to run for our 24-hour news and Weather Center update. We'll be right back. Bottom of this 10 o'clock hour here on your News Talk 1310 KFKA station. Stacey Petty with you. With us on the line still, Steve House, chairman for the state GOP. You know, Steve, before we went to break, I had made the comment that I'd like to quickly discuss here Amendment 69. It's easy for me to take a guess where you stand on that particular ballot initiative, and, you know, we don't even necessarily need to talk about that. One thing I wanted to point out, when we were speaking in the last segment, we were discussing the failure in education. Well, that education happens to be in the hands of the government, and I take big issue with handing health care over to the government. I cannot in good conscience. Now, I have stated repeatedly before, I understand the idea behind believing in a single-payer system. I get it. I understand it. I understand why someone thinks that this is the proper path to take. But I always like to say, you know, look at what we have as examples sitting in front of us, education being one of those examples. We have a massive failure in education, not just in the state, but in the country in general. And I cannot see turning over. I mean, I've had a child that has gone through cancer, and I try and place myself in the situation where I say, wait a minute. Do I want to entrust my son's life to the government? And I don't. And I know that there are problems that we have in healthcare in this country, but there's a way to go about repairing that and a way to not go about repairing that. Amendment 69 is a way that you do not want to go about repairing that, because not only does it double, and this is just the early prediction, double the state's budget, but I don't trust the government to do the right thing in the situation. And I don't know what kind of feedback you're hearing from independents and from Democrats across the state in regards to 69. Is there anything that you can share with us on that one?
Well, Governor Hickenlooper came out yesterday, the day before, and said he doesn't support it. So the top Democrat in the state also doesn't support the idea of this. And there's a lot of misinformation. I clearly am on the same page as you are. I've been in healthcare for 33 years. You don't propose this type of a change convincing people their costs are going to be lower. We just went through Obamacare, right? I mean, $2,500 a family lower, keep your doctor, all the promises, none of it came true. And now you're going to run a single-payer healthcare system where the government is in control. Just say you don't trust the government with your healthcare. Well, between Medicaid and Medicare, the government already has a huge piece of the healthcare business now. You know, giving it to them this way, they say it's a 10% tax increase. It's not. It's substantially higher than that. Plus, they're either going to have to ration care as we get older or increase our taxes. And this bill would not force them to go through the process of getting tax increases the way that we typically do in this state. So it's completely out of our hands. If this passes, we are in deep trouble.
Well, and we had a conversation with Jonathan Lockwood from Advancing Colorado the other day, and that's when I found out, speaking with him, that there's actually going to be a commission that determines what the cost of something is going to be. And I'm listening to that from him, thinking, how can they price control? They can't price control. The free market price controls.
Absolutely. And if you look at services even today, right, I've talked to a lot of hospital CEOs just in the last few weeks about this. If you take places that are dealing with Medicaid audits that take 2.5 years after the fact to get results, they pay penalties. They can't buy ultrasound machines. They have to put people in helicopters and fly them out because they don't have the systems, programs, or structures they need because the government's controlling what they get paid. That's the kind of thing that will get a lot worse if we allow them to control healthcare. It's just a very, very bad idea.
Well, and I think probably another thing that we need to be spending a decent amount of time talking about in the coming months, and this is something that, you know, you and I are essentially from the same hood. Adams County commissioners the other day decided to not instill a request for a moratorium on oil and gas within our fine county.
Yeah, if you really look at what's going on with oil and gas, you know, it's a $40 billion piece of the state economy. And with pricing down in the $31, $32 a barrel, you know, Colorado's far less attractive for oil and gas companies at prices like that because we're in the Rocky Mountains and, you know, fracking is required. We've got 11 ballot initiatives to kill or eliminate or reduce fracking in the state. We've got to do the right thing. Otherwise, it's going to be an economic disaster for the state. It's already going to be a big challenge next year because the ad valorem taxes that are paid 2 years in arrear are going to be a lot lower in the state budget and in county budgets than they've been for a long, long time. Anything we do to hurt oil and gas right now in this state means we're hurting ourselves, and it's ridiculous and has to be stopped.
Well, and Weld County has suffered that extensively here. There are individuals that I know that have lost their jobs in oil and gas because of the fall in the price of oil, and not necessarily, you know, going into that area, but why do we want to hurt our friends and neighbors around us more with a lot of these moratoriums? What else do we have coming up on the ballot or anything else that you want to get out there, let the listeners know about?
Well, I think, you know, people have to get engaged. You know, 2016 is, you know, it's another election year, and they all seem to be the most important election of our lifetime. But the reality of it is, you know, voter registration is important to us right now. Getting, you know, into conversations with people, a reasonable regulatory environment. You know, Colorado's getting dinged pretty hard by the corporate world over, you know, the passage of Amendment 64 and the availability of a workforce that can pass a drug test. We're hearing a lot of conversations about that. I think we've got to think as a citizenry about what is it going to take for us to be competitive. You know, not picking on 64 per se, but that's just one of those issues out there. What are we going to do to be competitive? And what we're going to have to do to be competitive is we're going to have to look at some of the regulation that's put in place by the Democrats over the last decade, and we're going to have to get rid of it. Otherwise, we're not going to be competitive in ag and oil and gas and high-tech development work and healthcare. Those are where our jobs are, and if we don't get it straight, this state's not going to be the state it's been in the past.
Well, I know that there is a concern. There are corporations that have considered moving their operations to Colorado, and they see that Amendment 69 is on our ballot in November, and that's keeping them from coming here.
I absolutely agree. I mean, I think people are worried about it. They're worried about the overall economy. If you have that type of regulation in place, they're even worried about it from, you know, across the country. People are worried about Obamacare and the employer mandate. I mean, there's a number of things coming that are going to increase the cost of doing business. We've got to look at business tax rates. We've got to look at personal property taxes in business. This is about people getting an opportunity to have good jobs, raise their wages, raise their property values, all the things you want as a libertarian and I want as a Republican come from the idea that we've got to empower individuals and get the government out of their life, and we just haven't done a good job of that recently.
We have the debate coming up this evening. You have any thoughts on that or something that you'd like to promote, kind of make the listener think about listening to that debate, I should say watching that debate, concerns, where are we wanting to head?
You know, there's a saying, and this comes from Steve Dace, who wrote the book Rules for Patriots. I think he's right about this, that when people have their self-interest at heart, and or when it's a priority at the very least, that, solutions trump values every time. So if you're standing up today in the debate, and you're talking about freedom and limited government, which is what we want, and people's self-interest is, I want to be able to work. I want to be able to make a living. I want to go on vacation. They're more interested in talking about real solutions to problems like lowering the debt and the interest rate and making sure we're economically sound and college educations aren't controlled, at least the loan rates aren't controlled by Obamacare and inflated. You know, they care about stuff like that. So in the debates these days, I think we have to look for the solutions these guys are talking about. I'm a little worried about tonight with Donald Trump not being there that it's going to turn into a discussion, you know, about him as a candidate and what he believes in, and we're not going to get enough on the discussion about solutions. It will depend on how the moderators approach it. But, you know, my hope is that, well, people are going to start listening for solutions, because independents, Republicans, Democrats, everybody wants solutions right now, because we all have a sense that we're in peril as a country from a security and economic perspective, and we need to solve that.
What do you have ahead that you'd like to share with the listeners? Anything that the state party is doing on messaging? I know that that there is a grave concern about trying to pull back in a lot of those who have left the GOP. That would be me. Independents trying to convince them that they need to be voting Republican this November. Or our young ones, our millennials, where they are headed, what are they thinking? What is the state party doing to address messaging to those particular crowds?
Well, I think it's something you brought up earlier. You want to talk about issues. Issues to me are about solutions to significant problems. Millennials want to know it. Millennials are very authentic and solution-oriented. We've got to stop talking purely about you should be a Republican because you shouldn't be a Democrat, or you should be a Republican because you want limited government and more freedom. You can't get those things without knowing what that means and getting specific about solutions. So you're going to see messaging from us throughout the year that is specific to some solutions that need to be brought about. I think that will attract people, if not to re-register as Republicans, certainly to vote for the solutions that make their lives better. And we just haven't done well on that. It's time for us to do it, and that's why we're talking about things like education and healthcare and innovation and, you know, reasonable regulation in oil and gas and other things, because they're solutions that lead to answers people want.
And I like to promote the idea of, as often as I can, is reducing regulations on just about every industry. We already have a system in place that deals with those who violate us in some manner, cause some type of damage. We have a legal system to go through, the judiciary to go through to resolve those problems. Hey, Steve, we are out of time today. What's the web address for the state party's website where the people can find out more information?
It's www.collogop.org. And you can even find out how to register and go through a process to be a national delegate. I want to take a very diverse, energized group to Cleveland so that we can select our presidential nominee. And I hope many, many, many people will get engaged and apply.
I fully support that, the idea of a difference of opinions. Hey, Steve, it is a pleasure. We'll get you back in studio again here. Good luck at your luncheon there in Logan and getting the message out there. Steve House, chairman for the state GOP. We need to run to our final break of the show. We'll be right back.